This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. I'm your host, Derek, and this is the show where each episode, myself and a guest will dissect and discuss a single game that's available on Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass service that was usually chosen for us, completely at random. Whether it's a magical or horrible experience, we'll force ourselves through it, share our thoughts, and let you know whether or not the game is worth your time. At the end of every episode, we'll also draw the game for the next show as well, so you always know what's coming up on the next adventure. And yeah, usually it's me and just one guest. I think this guest has probably been on the show more than anyone, but it's been a few months, so we are super glad to have Doogie back. Hot off the heels of Doogie's wife, Linda Louise. Doogie, how are you today?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm glad to talk to you again. We don't talk outside of the show. And so, you know, I don't know what's going on with you. I haven't seen you later today. Nothing like that.
Other than my wife, you are the person I speak to most in my life.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
100%. Absolutely. But it's always a pleasure to speak to you. I didn't mean that to come across.
No. I didn't take it like that at all.
It's always a pleasure speaking to you, man. Especially about video games.
Yeah. I do love a good game. Before we jump into this episode, how did you feel about Linda Louise's experience with The Forgotten City?
Do you know, it was actually one of my favorite episodes that I've listened to because I had such a like an intimate experience watching her play. I got to watch a bunch of that game and watch her play it and watch her get through it. And what was really cool is, as she kind of discussed, like it didn't really initially seem like her kind of game that she would be super into. But what I found really interesting about it is that Linda Louise is somebody that if she doesn't like something or she's not immediately kind of drawn to it, she's typically like, well, that's okay. I can put that down and do something else. But it bugged her. It bugged her so much that she was like, I've got to go back and finish it. I've got to go and find things out. And I've got it. Like, she had that real, like, it grabbed her in that really cool way that that video games grabbed me.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to see. So it was a really neat experience to kind of like watch her play and then listen to her thoughts on the podcast listen to you two discuss it. It was really cool.
Did it give you, I mean, I guess it sounds like you watched most of the game, but did it make you want to play it at all?
Do you know,
thought you'd be like, this looks like Skyrim. Well, it basically is. And
when she put it down, my first thought was, I've got to play through this, like, because I want to see like all of the endings and blah blah blah. But no, I never did. And I can't even remember why. I think something else came out or there was something else on the... I think actually because you'd asked me to play through the game that we're talking about
today. Of course,
I kind of jumped onto that instead. Yeah. But I might go back and play Forgotten City at some point. Maybe once I've forgotten, you know, all the paths and all the routes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because we looked up a bunch of the endings and stuff once you'd completed it to be like, wait, that can't be it. What? And we were both indignantly furious.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. That game, even now it's been a month and a bit and it's, I don't know, it was very memorable to me. And I think it was like, I don't know, just the aspect of this show that it's part of the aspect of the show that I really like is like, sometimes you're going in so blind. Like,
yeah, you
know, I knew that game existed. I knew it was like a popular, like, Skyrim mod turned into actual game, but knew nothing else about it. And then to just jump into that with no knowledge, I was like, oh, this is so fucking like interesting. And like,
yeah,
I don't know, just the like world building that they did and the like the conversations that you have with the characters and just the kind of puzzly nature of how you have to figure out each run. It's just totally dug that for sure. So
yeah,
we're talking about something totally different today.
couldn't be more different.
So I can't remember what the other choice was, but Linda Louise selected Bugsnax. Yeah, why don't you read the synopsis for us, and then let's get snacking.
So Bugsnax takes you on a journey to Snacktooth Island, home of the legendary half bug half snug creatures Bugsnax. Invited by intrepid explorer Elizabet Megafig, you arrive to discover your host nowhere to be found, her camp in shambles, and her followers scattered across the island alone and hungry. It's up to you to solve the mysteries of Snacktooth Island. What happened to Lisbert? What are Bugsnax and where do they come from? But most of all, why do they taste so good?
Why do they taste so good, Doogie? Why?
I don't know, because we're not at the stage yet. Although we have got a lot of immersion in video games, we still don't have
taste-o-vision. Tasty game too, I think.
It would have been a super game, I imagine. Yeah.
The one question that just popped up as a, you know, just because I'm talking to you, did Squishmallows, because a lot of the Squishmallows are like food related. And yeah, Bugsnax are obviously food related. Did Bugsnax come out first?
If
Bugsnax had just released a line of Bugsnax plushes, would they have taken that reign from Squishmallows?
It's possible. I wonder, actually, because I get the feeling, I think, although Squishmallows are immensely popular these days.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. I do wonder whether they've been kind of under the radar at the start of their kind of, you know, sales, and then kind of exploded, especially like during COVID and stuff.
But Squishmallows, I feel like I'd never heard of them until you two mentioned them.
And then that was it.
They started in 2017. So
2017. So yeah.
Exploded in popularity due to the pandemic, thanks to social media, and in particular, TikTok or Squish Talk, as fans call it.
Squish Talk, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does seem like, I don't know, I guess that general concept of, like, you know, anthropomorphic fruit. I mean, I had thought of like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and stuff like that. Like,
love Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Dude, so good.
Yeah.
But it did for me, it drew on a lot of that kind of mentality and that kind of humor even and stuff like that as well. So that was what I immediately associated was kind of an influence or whatever.
Right. This was actually like a PS5 launch game, and it launched like on PlayStation Plus at the time, and I remember like seeing trailers for it, and I remember like listening to a couple podcasts around when the PS5 came out talking about how like charming this game was. And I downloaded it on the PS5, and I think I played it for like an hour or probably less, actually, now that I think about it. It was like a one session, let's see what this is while I wait for like Miles Morales to download or something. And there was just, obviously, there was so much to play at that time that I just went back to it. But the concept always intrigued me. That first like little session that I played that years ago, like I was like, this is pretty funny and this is pretty neat. And it just like never, you know, there's always new games coming out, and I'm always attracted by the shiny new thing. And so it just like never crossed my mind again. So I was so glad that it popped up on here, and it popped up like relatively shortly after I think it dropped on Xbox too.
Like it was
only
that long.
Yeah, I think it was only like a few months ago. And so this developer Young Horses, they came out with a game a number of years ago called Octodad. Did you play Octodad?
I did not realize it was the same developer. Yeah. I never did, but I've watched a ton because it's so ridiculous.
yeah.
And I know that they got the concept of like Octodad's movement through like that surgeon simulator try and like it be a surgeon basically in like VR essentially. Yeah. But no, I didn't realize that was the same developer. That's so weird.
Yeah. And that just made me excited because I like Octodad was like just the most like how did people come up with this type concept?
Yeah.
And I think Bugsnax is similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But like, Octodad had like this amazing music, and I think Bugsnax has some of that too.
Uh-huh.
Octodad, if you haven't played it, it is an experience worth playing. It's like
okay,
just a few hours long, and I just remember, I can't remember if it was like two controllers or one controller, but Michaela and I like played it together, and there's like a multiplayer mode, and you're like both, you're each controlling like a couple of limbs, and so you it's like the most frustrating and like hilarious experience. And I believe, and I might be wrong, but I believe you can actually play up to four players, and each player controls one limb, and so you just need to like coordinate with each other. And It just I remember it being like a preposterously funny time.
Yeah, that sounds like a drinking game.
Like supremely angering and yeah. But like you just got to go through it type thing because it's hilarious at the same time. So
yeah, I'm gonna need to check that out.
Yeah, but yeah, what were your like first impressions on Bugsnax?
So at the first like 30 minutes of this game, I went through. I'm gonna call it a roller coaster of emotions. I'm gonna go there because like the first like cutscene opens up and it seems like a super cutesy. Like the art style is really cool. It's really kind of like over the top. You know, big googly eyes
for sure.
And you play as this sort of
race. You're like it opens and you're like, this is clearly for children.
So like 100%. Yeah. I was like, this is very like hammy in its acting, but in the best possible way. It seems very directed at kids. This is going to be like a fun. I was sat there like, this is going to be a fun like 4 hours. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to have a blast playing this game because it's just going to be super easy to get through and blah blah blah. And like the sort of the humanoid race that you kind of play. I can't even remember their name. Like
Grumpus.
Grumpuses. Yeah, that's it. And like you see
also
this,
clearly for children
100%. You know, again, like, you know, that kind of, it reminded me of like Sesame Street type vibes. And you know, you get this little cut scene about Elizabeth inviting you to the island, and she's this like Steve Irwin type like nature explorer and stuff like that. So there was a lot of like kind of like reference that was kind of in that I was tying into and going, okay, I'm picking up what you're putting down. So then, like, you crash on the island, and I was just like, okay, like, you know, we're it's a video game, and we're essentially in a giant, like, boat helicopter type thing. Of course, we're going to crash, naturally. That always happens. You meet one of the other Grumpuses that are on the island who's got, like, a little sash that says Mayor on the sash. And then all of a sudden, he gets you to go and capture sentient fruit and then force feed it to him. And then one of his limbs turns into that fruit. Yep, so I went from like, this is a super cutesy kids game to like body horror to like, you know, and it was like, what is going on? And so the minute I saw that, I was like, okay, so this is definitely got more adult vibes. This is definitely not like necessarily for kids. Sure. Kids will get something out of it, but this is definitely written with adults in mind who are going to come and play this
some
game.
Of the dialogue and some of the jokes that pop up you're like, oh, this is not for kids. And that's something I struggled with, is that like I didn't know at any point exactly who it was for, because it's like in a lot of aspects it's like so silly and immature, but then like at that, like it would be perfect for children, and obviously the look and feel of the game and the mechanics I think are quite simple control wise and everything like that, but then some of the dialogue and sort of, you know, it towards the end, which we'll talk about, it takes like a very very dark turn,
super dark,
but then as you mentioned even at the beginning, like it's just this like super cute thing, and then you know, the little like Strabby, which is a tiny little living strawberry creature that's the most adorable thing you've ever seen, and then they're just like, yeah, let's catch that fucker and eat it, like it's just like it's just like this like shocking contrast, I guess, that continues throughout the game, but it's like it's okay because they're cute, like, so you don't feel that bad, or does it make you feel worse? But obviously why are people obsessed with like turning their limbs into them? You know, there's so many weird it's so weird, this game is so weird.
Yes, there was a line when you were just talking about like specific lines of dialogue that were like really like not okay for kids, like not just not okay. There was a line near the end that I actually took down in the note, and it doesn't spoil anything, but there's a couple who are on the island, a couple of Grumpuses, and one of them says, don't worry, I've still got my special sauce, fresh grown, while referencing towards his crotch. And his partner said, no, that's not what I meant. And like, Derek, I put down the controller because I was like, what is going on? What is happening right now? And just like the humor was like that kind of throughout and like it felt like a very mixed tone for a lot of it,
for sure. I struggled with like not knowing who it was for, but I also think that made it like weirder and added to its charm in a lot of ways.
100%, and that is one of the things that I did love about it, because it very much like it disarmed you. Like that whole idea of like, oh, this is a cute story about you're gonna go to an island and there's little strawberries that have big ugly eyes and make the other weird thing about it is that all of the bug snacks had a slightly sort of Pokemon vibe.
Oh, 100, like, because they can only say their name.
They can only say their name and stuff. So yeah. But like, you know, you initially think going in, this is going to be a super cute game for kids. And we're going to run around an island and there's going to be cute fruit with big eyes. And then, as I say, you get the body horror, you get the adult jokes, you get like some of the like storylines and stuff like that even were, you know, kind of like adult. I wouldn't say they're necessarily like a kid would get the complexities of like,
yes, for sure,
adult relationships and how they work, and just kind of really kind of like mixed, not mixed messages, but a very mixed tone throughout. And it did confuse me at points, and there were moments where I was just like, oh wait, no, this isn't a kid's game, and then I'd be like, no wait, this is super super adorable and like a lot of fun. And I think you're right, I don't think it took away from either. I think what they've done is very clever, because as an adult, you know, I enjoyed my experience with it.
Yeah.
And I imagine that as a kid, those jokes are just going to fly over your head anyway, and you're just going to have fun running around an island and capturing all these different bugs and feeding them to the natives. And you know, that's going to be a cool way to kind of explore that. So,
yeah. Well, and a lot of that humor, I don't think it's not outside of, maybe it's a little bit less subtle, but it's not outside of what you see in like Pixar or other animated movies these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like a classic thing to do, as you say. I mean, you know, some of the stuff that you even see in like old Disney movies or Pixar movies, as you say, is like very, very like geared towards that. Like, I know the parents are watching. This is a joke for you.
Yeah, this will wake you up.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
Did you like playing the game, I guess?
I did.
Yeah.
I definitely, you know me, I love to complain about stuff. I definitely have a bunch of issues with it, but I think what was really cool, what I did really like about it is like there were elements where you could go and explore, and the different gadgets were cool. Like, and you know, from the synopsis, for anyone that hasn't played it, one of the kind of ideas or one of the first things that you kind of get tasked with doing is going and finding all these settlers on the island who kind of came here with Elizabeth, and bringing them back to the kind of central.
Right. Yeah. They kind of, like, everything fell apart after she went missing, and they decided to just like leave and go off on the island on their own.
So one of your like first things you got to do, and one of the, in fact, probably like the main kind of story thread essentially, is the first thing to do is get everyone back to town.
For sure. Yeah.
And of course, when you go and meet them in their respective kind of biomes that they're in, is, you know, they'll always have a quest or they'll always have a mission, and it's generally centered around go find me three of these Bugsnack, go find me five of these Bugsnack. And I get the intention with that. I think they missed a couple tricks. There's a moment near one of the last folks that I got, and I don't know whether, I think there's certain like thresholds of story that you can only get like X amount of them before this kind of story milestone, and then another X of them before the next story milestone. But there was one near the end where, as Derek was saying, their limbs change when they eat bug snacks, and you can choose, okay, you know, you've just eaten a Strabby, change your right foot into a Strabby. There's like one of the Grumpuses near the end that is like a scientist and has created this device where not only can you like duplicate, so anything that Grumpus has eaten, you can then say, hey, okay, you've eaten a Strabby, but you've maybe only eaten one, I'm going to turn all your limbs into Strabbies.
Right.
Or, you know, you've eaten this in the past, now I'm going to change that Strabby out for, you know, this other Bugsnack. And I kind of thought when I got to that part, I was like, well, hold on, because she makes this big speech about, you, well, that's it, we've cured disease, we've cured, limbs that have maybe been, you know, chopped off in an accident or whatever. She goes on this big thing, and I was like, well, hold on, wait a minute. Maybe this is the kind of whole point. Maybe this is what we're going to discover, is that, you know, we can go and do all this thing. Maybe this is going to open up more puzzles, because we're maybe going to need specific bug snacks to open up specific doors for these people, or however that kind of looks. And then that story just kind of like fizzled out. And that it just that was just her story, is that she wanted to go and like get this thing. So I kind of think they missed a bit of a trick with that, because that would have been really cool if there was actually a purpose to doing all of these things rather than just advancing the story. If the story wasn't just let's get everyone back to town and then go find Lisbert, which, you know, you could argue is a fine enough story in itself. It sets you in motion and it gets you pointed in the right direction. But I kind of just feel like with the concept, this like great concept that they had, this the great dialogue, the great voice acting, like this super adorable like art style, I kind of just feel like the story just fell a bit flat for me. Like, but I enjoyed my time with it. What about you? Like, did you do all of the side missions?
I did a few of them, but overall, no, because it just kind of felt like more of the same, and I didn't feel like, I don't know, whatever like conversational tidbits that, like, I don't think they would have led to much aside from that. And so I just didn't feel like, that's like me in most games. I'm not a big side quest guy usually, aside from like whatever ones I get organically pulled into, but these ones are like very direct, like, oh, I have something else for you to do. Or even there becomes a point when they just show up in like a mailbox, because like they give you like a piece of land, and so you can like build and customize a tiny house, which serves no purpose aside from you can build your house, which is fine. But I did not do too much of that stuff. I don't know, I really like the game is quite repetitive, because it's basically, like you get into a new area, which maybe is like, you might be in like a snowy forest and then you're in like a hot desert. And so there's like, the biomes are completely different, but generally you like meet a new Grumpus. You're like, will you come back to town? And then he's like, nah, not unless you do all this stuff for me first, which is usually like catching a specific bug snack, or like, you know, one guy is like a pet, so it keeps bug snacks for pets. And so you got to like find his lost bug snacks and all that sort of stuff. And so, but yeah, it does. And it's like, that part is really repetitive, but it's also like, there is variety in it, in that like each bug snack you have to figure out how to catch and catch it in its own way. And so that's where the like variety and uniqueness of each one comes, but each one is laid out pretty much exactly the same. But I don't know, it felt like it didn't really bother me that much. I feel like usually it would. I don't know, I just feel like this game, like there's not really any like combat or like huge conflict for the most part. It's just like it just felt like kind of like wholesome, and it felt just like easy to play and like not stressful for the most part. And I felt like that felt perfect for whatever mindset I was in. And so I just like really, I don't know. And it's like so simple mechanic wise. And as you mentioned, and like the gadgets and stuff are cool. Like it was just like a short, like cute, fun experience that like, you know, it's the I think the only other game, I've been so busy lately, the only other thing that I've been playing is the few hours I've played of The Last of Us Remake, and it could not be more different, and it could not be more perfect than, like, you know, here, obviously this game has some, like, dark elements too, but here's this, like, cutesy, like, Pokemon Snap almost style adventure, and for, you know, contrasting, like, one of the fucking saddest games, you know. I started that game, I'm playing, like, Mikhail's like, oh, watch for a bit, and within 15 minutes she's like crying and like you know, that sort of thing. So I really enjoyed my time with it, and I part of me doesn't know why, because like I don't know it's like not, it doesn't do anything super original, I don't think, and it doesn't do anything, any of the things that it chooses to do. It's not like the best version of it or anything, but it's just like a cute and fun and short experience that turns memorable for whatever reason. So
I do think as well, you play as a reporter in it, and I actually think one of the best mechanics, and I actually specifically took a note down about it, once you've convinced the Grumpuses to come back to the town, the idea is that you interview them to find out what happened with Elizabeth.
Yes, yes.
The interview mechanic is actually probably better than any other detective game that I have pretty much ever played. So like it pulls up your little notepad and you've got your little like recorder or your little dictaphone on the left-hand side. But like when you ask a question, so it's got the questions laid out on your little notepad. When you ask a question, you put the notepad down and they answer it, and then you pull up your notepad. If there's a follow-up question that specifically relates to that question, it does a little indent underneath question. Yeah. And I was like, do you know what? Such a simple thing, but one of the most frustrating things in like any, because I quite like puzzles and figuring things out. I like to think I'm smart. So like those kinds of things. And this wasn't like a puzzle in that regard. It was just like you go through the questions.
Yeah, yeah.
But just actually that idea of visually having that up and having those little indents, I thought was super clever. And the fact that I took a note down of it being like, holy shit, that was like better than pretty much any other detective game I think I've ever played. But no, I think you're right. Like, I don't think there was anything massively original as far as or unique really as far as what they were doing. You know, it was a kind of chilled out, you know, game that you could just kind of go and explore. And I guess that was just the idea, was that you were able to explore this kind of fantastical world and things like that.
Sure.
I guess when I say I think they missed a trick, I think it's because I quite enjoyed my time with it. I quite enjoyed like the characters and like the voice acting was phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
Like they had these so over the top personalities and a few really recognizable people. One of which actually is one of the cast of Critical Role, Sam Riegel, who anytime his character spoke, he's the guy that keeps the Bugsnax as pets.
Okay.
And anytime he spoke, I was so distracted because I was like, oh my God, that's Sam Riegel. And it's so like his like tone of voice, he's got a really specific like tone of voice.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I think what I was saying there is just like, I feel like I wanted more of it. I wanted either more like variety or challenge with actually catching the monsters, because I felt like even catching the Bugsnax was you know, it was quite quick to work out, oh, this is a frozen monster and there's a big fiery pit there. Okay, well, right, if I take the frozen monster through the fiery pit, great, they're gonna, you know, melt or whatever. And I get, again, if it is kind of more aimed for kids, I get why you'd want to keep those things as simple or as easy to work out as possible. I almost want like a Bugsnax plus, like, you know, give me some challenge, make me figure stuff out, make me actually go and work stuff out, rather than it seeming, you know, kind of fairly obvious to do. Because I did enjoy my time with it. I did. And as you say, super easy to just pick up and play for a couple of hours and then put down and go about the rest of your day. There wasn't any massive, you know, heart-wrenching thing that made you like need to sit down with a cup of coffee after it, you know. it was nice and easy.
Yeah, yeah. I do think too, I think that one thing I would have loved, and if it were not a tiny indie game, it probably would have had something like that, which is not a fault of the game at all in that case. But like, I think it would have been so interesting if there like was mechanics of like you, and it could have expanded the variety and expanded the challenge for sure in that aspect. But if you could like eat Bugsnax and then like whatever like Bugsnax and limb combination you were doing like would give you some sort of like ability, totally. and like you could swap those out on the fly, 100%. And so you'd have to like figure out how to like get to areas you can't reach based on like, you know, adapting to a Bugsnax that like lets you jump higher or like something like that. I feel like that could have really like, because it seemed like, aside from cosmetically, it didn't really make any difference for anyone.
100%. And I think like there's a bit at the start when you're feeding, because you're right, like you can only feed the Bugsnax to the Grumpuses who are on the island already. And there's some like throwaway comment at the start about like, oh, you can't eat them, you're going to be allergic to them or something like that. Or I think you do eat one at one stage.
It makes you sick.
And it makes you super sick. But no, like you're totally right. And there's a moment where one of the Grumpuses that you've got to kind of like convince back to town is in like a desert or like a hot kind of area. And he wants two like popsicle, Bugsnax for legs. And I was like, in that moment, that thought occurred to me as well. I was like, well, hold on. Like, it would be so cool if like you couldn't walk across the desert unless you had popsicle legs, or you couldn't like, I don't know, you couldn't do this other thing without this other bug snack that you were able to kind of like do, or you had to tempt like some of the flying ones down. You had to have like honey arms or something, you know, like I think there was so much in it that I just wanted them to take it like two steps further.
Yeah, definitely.
In order to be like, oh my God, this is like ridiculously fun. Cause as you say, it was just kind of like a, you know, I'm going to play this for a couple of hours and great. Yeah, I've caught that bug snack. Yep. Great. Yep. Back to town interview. Yep. It didn't really grab me in any kind of significant way. It was just sort of a thing that you could play to kill some time, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think, I think it was a good experience and I really enjoyed my time with it, but it's not something that I'll probably won't think about it largely outside of this type thing. Like there's not too much. There's not too much depth to what was happening or anything like that, but some sort of like multiplayer. I don't know how that would work, but that would be cool because it is just like a fun world to run around in and everything like that. Did you play, because when it launched on Xbox, which looks like was actually back in April, that coincided with, I guess, a fairly decently sized like DLC called the Isle of Big Snacks, which like there's another island you can go to, and the snacks are larger. I did not get to experience that in my playthrough, but
I didn't.
I feel like I did have enough fun in the game that I am definitely interested in it, and I think that I would go back to try to experience that, and especially if it adds new story elements and like why are there larger bug snacks and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
I think that would be neat.
Yeah, I would definitely go back. Like, I think as you were saying earlier when you were talking about like switching between this and Last of Us, like I think this is definitely something I could pick up if I'm playing something absolutely harrowing that's going to absolutely destroy my emotions and break them into seven bits. Like picking this up for an hour or two is just like, oh, doing the bug snacks, catching the things.
And like the music's all cute.
Totally,
and like,
absolutely. Yeah. I think there's some really... And again, we've kind of said it a couple of times, the fact that this appears to be at least aimed towards a younger generation, towards kids. I think there was a couple of really cool things that they added in that, you know, we talk about in media a lot, whether it's movies, shows, you know, music, games, whatever, that like representation matters. And I know this seems like the weirdest topic to come out with a kind of kids game about bug snacks. But like there's one of the characters who... is like an absolute dude bro, like guy, you know, it completely speaks in that kind of way as well.
That'd be Chandlo. He's even got a bro-y name.
Right, exactly. And his they call it like his they sort of call it his partner at first. His partner's like a super smart scientist, both like male presenting bug snacks, male presenting grumpuses. And when you first go and find them, like you have this chat with Chandlo about how he's come out to this kind of desolate part of the island to help his like partner, he says, because he's got social anxiety and he doesn't want to leave him by himself. So I was like, okay, A+ on that kind of message for a start. But then later on in the game, they have this moment together where like the scientist guy is like, Chandlo, I thought you were just like my buddy. And he's like, no, dude, like, I love you. Like, and like, you're my boyfriend. Like, and that's it. And they have,
it's like, we've been dating for years.
We've been dating for years. What are you talking about? Like, I just always assumed that you knew that we were dating. Like, we lived together, for God. Like, what are you talking about? And I just thought, like, it was one of the moments in the game where I just kind of like, damn, like, yeah, great work. Because I think it is so important and representation does matter to have that a game that, you know, has that adult humor in it, but it's aimed at kids. And there was so many, that was just kind of one moment, but I feel like there was much more than that. I mean, even Elizabeth, who you're here to find, her partner is
Agabelle,
and again, both female presenting grumpuses, so like super important. And I love that they had that in it, and there wasn't like, there was no raised eyebrows about it. There was no, like, you know, no one in the village thought, oh, that was terrible that they were together. There wasn't anything like that. Everyone just got on with it and just accepted it. And I thought that was super important. And I just thought that was a really cool thing that I took a note down of. I was like, I loved that was in it.
If the grumpuses can do it, why can't we?
100%.
Yeah.
Because the grumpuses are smarter in a lot of ways.
Except for the eating the bug snack.
Well,
things.
Should we talk about the big twist at the end?
We should, but before we do, I want to know what was your favorite bug snack that you saw?
Oh man, what was my favorite bug snack?
There's like 110 of them or something. Like, there's a lot, and some of them are like variations on other ones. Like one of them, there's a Bopsicle, which is like a grasshoppery looking popsicle guy, and then there's like Big Bopsicle, which is like two of them side by side with two sticks. Like, you get the popsicles that have that, and you know, there's like a burger guy named Bunger, and then there's like a barbecue Bunger, and
100%
sort of stuff. So there are a lot of variations. You know, there's like a Cheeto one, I can't remember his name, but then there's like a Flamin' Cheeto one, which is hilarious.
Like
Cheepoof is his name.
Yes, yeah.
Man,
I'm like going through right now, and I've actually just Googled the list, because there is so, as you say, there are so many of them.
Sure.
I must admit, like, I did have a soft spot just for the Strabbies. Like, they're just very cute. Clearly,
they are. Yeah.
Clearly, like, put a lot of work. I mean, they clearly put a lot of work into all the designs, because everything was very, very clever. I quite liked... Was the Bunger the one that looked like a big cheeseburger, and it had like little fries for like big fang teeth?
Yeah.
I did think that was pretty cute. Yeah. That was pretty clever. I liked all the I liked the Friders. The Friders were spiders, obviously, but they were like an upside down, like, if anyone's ever had like Five Guys fries.
They're so, all of them are so, like, it's so stupid.
It was
they're
so,
so
great.
Stupid, and they're amazing. Like, they're like fried, like, just the way that they've And adapted the name and the food together. There's one called Buffalo Locust.
Yeah. The Inchurrito as well, I quite liked. It was like an inchworm that was a burrito. I did like, there was a big flying pizza guy that I can't find.
Mozza, I think.
Oh, yeah. Because it was like mozzarella. And all of the like little puns, I love a good pun. So it was so well done, so good. There was a big there was a big snake as well that was Subway sandwiches, and
I think it was like a centipede called Sandopede. Favorite one, I
so
think,
good.
Actually. Yeah,
and like,
and he had this like deep voice. It was just like, and because like they're like, yeah, they're like Pokemon. They can only say their name, so it was just like Sandopede. And
so
you just like
good.
See it running by you, and it's just so you're like, this is fucking so dumb, and I love it.
And like, there was so, like, you've got like a pair of like binoculars that you can like scan the bugs with to like find out a bit more about them, and like,
yeah, which that's like the very like Pokemon Snap element.
Yeah,
it,
totally.
Like, and then you can see what they like and don't like, and it like gives you a little blurb about what they are, type thing.
I love the one for the Sandopede because it actually did say it was a bunch of different bug snacks that just work together as one, and that's like how it becomes the big like Subway sandwich kind of thing. So I thought all of that was like, as you say, so dumb but so well written, and so fun and stupid, and like, yeah, you could pick up, there was a farmer who farmed sauces, so you could pick up, you got like a little slingshot as one of your things, and you could pick up like packets in the raw, like from plants, of like tomato sauce and like chocolate and hot sauce and different
cheese
bugs,
and peanut butter,
and peanut butter as well,
and
different bugs liked it, so you could like lead them down into a particular bit by like firing this at the ground and stuff, and like all of that I think was really cleverly done. They clearly put like a huge amount of effort into the world building of it, which I thought was super impressive, because they didn't necessarily need to go absolutely ham on that side of things, but that's clearly where they put a huge amount of their effort, was to come up with all those puns and the little descriptions and stuff. And it was all very clever. It was all very fun and clever. And that was actually one of my favorite things to do, was just actually read about the bugs themselves. And there was this one that's called Pop-Tick. That starts out as a little popcorn kernel that like goes through like rivers and stuff and like leaps away. And you had to get, there was like this, in that same kind of biome, there was like a scorpion type thing that was like on fire, and you had to get it to fire at the Pop-Tick so that it would kind of explode, it would heat up and explode into popcorn and stuff. So all of that, I just loved that. I think that was so stupid and so fun. That you could spend your time just doing that and nothing else, and you would have a blast playing it.
The Pop-Tick was a memorable one too that I had forgotten about. I feel like because there's the mission where you have to like pop a few and like bring them to someone.
That's right.
And I feel like I struggled with that for a little bit because I like, it just seemed like, because there's like a, this like fire shooting like scorpion guy near him or near where they are. And it just felt like they always like moved out of the way just the last second. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah, I don't know. It was, yeah. It was so cute. Like,
yeah,
we're just going off, you know, there's like 100 of them and we're just like naming them and how much we liked all of them. And because they're, yeah, it seemed like there was a lot put into them and they're all such a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there was any that I was just like, ah, that's a bit cheap. There was even ones like you go to one of the last places, certainly that I went, was like a big icy like mountain. And there was a flying thing that was like a bunch of ice cream sandwiches that were all like flying together. Or was it like s'mores or something like that? That was like, oh, I can't even remember what they were called. I'm going to have to look really quickly through.
Oh, yes, right, right.
But it was again, like, so just clever and fun. I think that was probably my favorite part about it, was just all of those absolute mad puns. And there was great ones like a snackery, like a daiquiri. And it was like a daiquiri glass that, like, sat in, like, glaciers and sat in the water and, like, popped up and jumped and... there was sodies and there was different types of sodies and they're like soda cans that swim. And so there was like diet sodies. There was like doctor sodies. There was like Mountain Dew sodies. It was just like all of that was just super clever and fun. And
but there was Bunger Royale, which was like a nicer looking cheeseburger. Yeah, just so silly. Just so silly. But yeah, let's jump into things get weird towards the end of the game.
Dude, things get so fucking weird.
Yeah, yeah. And it took a turn that I... Could anyone have guessed this? I don't think so.
I think if anyone said that they guessed where this game was going to head... I mean, maybe like the overall... like, and we should put a spoiler warning on now.
Yeah, spoilers.
The sort of big ending thing is that Bugsnax are actually a parasite. And they make themselves so delicious so that you eat enough of them that they just take over your entire being. Now, you may have been able to take a stab at the dark as like, oh, these Bugsnax are cute. Maybe they're the problem. Maybe they are the problem. But there is no one on Earth that could have told you that when you find Lisbert, she is an enormous sushi snake like spider hybrid thing that is just all Bugsnax, and she is like 30 foot tall. She's massive. And you basically get to this underground thing where there's just like,
what's it called, like the Undersnack?
The Undersnack. Yeah, yeah. And it's like there's just like the walls and the floor is all just donuts and pop and like candy bars and just,
and there's like weird like grotesque Bugsnax that you're like following around or avoiding and stuff.
It gets real gross, real gross. And then you have this big conversation with Lisbert, and I feel like you do an interview with her, and basically she's like, you gotta get out, you gotta leave the island, like it's too late for me, like save yourselves. And then Agabelle's with you when you go down, and Agabelle just decides, I kind of felt like out of nowhere a bit. Like she's always been very helpful, and there's did you find all of the little videos of them, by the way? The little videos?
Yeah.
So like that you can find like little movie reels and go back to Lisbert and Egbert's hut and watch them. And it's kind of their story about how they sort of fell in love, and they're always there for one another. They always help one another. So I suppose it didn't necessarily come out of the blue. But basically, you're standing talking to this massive sushi snake who's telling you to run off the island.
Yeah.
And Agabelle's like, well, no, if we're going to figure this out, we're going to figure this out together. And basically gets Lisbert to eat her so that she becomes one with them, so they could be together. So two heads of the same snake, like spider thing. Very weird. Just very, very weird. And then the last part of the game is this mad dash where you're trying to actually now kill the Bugsnax. The scientist who makes all of the gadgets for you has now fashioned them all very quickly into weapons.
Into weapons, yeah.
And you kind of have to do this mad dash. I have a question for you at this point. Did you manage to save all of the Grumpuses?
Yeah, I noted that down. I was going to bring it up. Like, I didn't know that was not an option until like an achievement pops up that was like, all Grumpuses survived. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like,
So you get that the last like sections are basically these kind of like shooting galleries, essentially, yeah, yeah. where like you get given this new gadget that's maybe like a trap or maybe it's a gun, and there's waves of bug snacks that come at you, and there's always two Grumpuses that are with you.
Yeah, it's like step by step. The mission is like save these two people, save yeah. these two people, and each one is like a different. Like mechanic that uh-huh. you're going through, basically. Yeah.
And like as the waves of bug snacks are coming towards you, if they get too close, they like the bug snacks just leap into the mouths of the Grumpuses. So I guess when that achievement popped up for me, I was like, wait a second. Is there a possibility that the Grumpuses would have right. just turned into a massive bug snack next to me and like killed the rest of us on the ship? So weird, man. I thought that last section just was absolutely bizarre. Fully bizarre.
And then you basically like fly away. Does the island, I can't remember, does it like, because it's all, it's like erupting at the time.
Yeah.
I can't remember, does it explode? It doesn't explode, right? It just like, you guys just leave.
I don't think it explodes, because I think I remember the last thing when you're like flying away is you turn around and the big massive snake, spider, Lizza, Egbert, thing is like on the island and like kind of waving you all away, fending
right.
off the bug snacks. Yeah. There. And again, I thought as well, potentially, that was like kind of traumatic. This big, massive like person who you've been trying to find is now a big, massive snake, spider, hybrid thing with her partner attached to the same creature on an island with certain death approaching them. Facing off against a horde of angry bug snacks.
Yes, yes.
Like, it was very like Lord of the Rings at the Black Gate type of mentality.
And then it's so like, even when you like meet her, you're like, can I interview you? And it's like,
yeah,
forget about the interview, man. There's more important
things going on. And then like you kind of like fly away, and then you're on the coast of like, I guess, their main sort of metropolis as Grumpuses.
Yes,
and then you can talk to all of them, and they're all like, well, I guess life goes on, I guess, you know, that's it, okay,
yeah,
back
yeah.
to it. And they all that's what they say, like a bunch of them are like, you know, I feel so much better now that I'm off that island, now that I'm not eating bug snacks all the time. And you're like, you were fucking there. Yeah. And then you go back to your main boss who actually sent you on the mission.
Yes.
He fires you. And for some reason, the Grumpus that you find at the start with the mayor sash on, who must be said, kind of adorable the whole way through the story. He's like this failure or quote unquote failure
yes,
of a
yeah.
Grumpus.
Philbo.
And just like doesn't believe in himself. It's that classic like Eeyore kind of thing of like he's always kind of sad because he always feels like he messes up and he feels like it's his fault that Lisbeth mm-hmm. left. And it's his fault that everyone left
and everyone like
town.
Hates him, it seems
everyone
like.
Everyone hates him. But like, you know, he like I think that's there because you root for Philbo, man. You really, really root for Philbo, or at least I did.
Yes, I did too.
And then he comes back with you. And then once you get fired, you sort of turn to him and he's like, well, guess I'm going to run for mayor then of this place. And you're like, wait, what? Why? How did we get from a story about trying to find someone going through a bug snack thing, and then she turns into a big bug snack? Now we're talking about you running for mayor.
I think because she like in that last conversation they had, she gave him like the confidence because he was like, oh, and everyone hates me and I do such a bad job, and she was like, no, like you're amazing and you've like kept everyone together and you do so much for everyone and all that sort of stuff. And I think that gave him the confidence. Also, what else is he going to do? You know,
I mean, it's very true.
He's already got the mayor. And you get fired because you like you're supposed to have this fantastical story. And I think that they omit bug snacks from that story.
Yes.
And so they're like, but it's still like, oh, it was kind of crazy. And they're like, cool story, but you're still fired.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the sort of ending was wild, but it's hard to understand maybe like where do you go at the end of that story?
Sure,
like,
yeah,
it
yeah.
does take that turn, but
yeah, and I think that like if you play it, because you get to a point where it's like a point of no return, and it warns you that like you won't be able to collect any more stuff after this, and so I think like initially I was like, oh, I wonder if the big snacks DLC is like a continuation, but it must happen as an optional, like, part of the story, because, you know, after the credits roll and stuff, if you were to go to continue, like, you're brought back to that, like, before point. So, so I don't think it changes anything with the outcome itself, but I'm still interested in it.
Yeah. I think I would go back and play, even just to see all the descriptions of the, the other Bugsnax that are there. Cause as I say, I think that was probably my favorite part.
Yes. Yeah. I enjoyed that also. A couple of things that I noted down that we haven't mentioned yet. Why can't anyone do anything for themselves? Like, get your own strawberry. We only just met.
Was that a bit Philbo at the very start?
There's like, you're asking for this bug snack that's like 4 feet away from you. Like, why don't you just grab it?
And especially because I think there's a comment about when the island, or when the like little town that they have, like when everyone leaves, I think part of the reason, I just remember a throwaway comment that one of them made about how that Lisbert was the only one that could really catch them.
I forgot that.
But you are totally right. That is classic RPG syndrome of just like, hey, go talk to this person. And you're like, dude, you're standing 6 feet from them. Go talk to them yourself. But no, it is a very, and you know, as we've already kind of mentioned, like, the entire like quest that you get given is talk to this person. That person goes, go get me 3 of this bug snack.
Yeah.
Then you go back to that person. They go, okay, go get me 4 of this bug snack. You know, that element of it is kind of always going to be a thing where you're just like, well, I guess this is just a big old glorified fetch quest from start to finish.
Yes, it sure is. And the other thing I had was, so there was one character named Cromdo. He was kind of like he kind of was like schemey and like ripping everyone off all the time, it seemed like. And I just thought he kind of looked, and he definitely sounded like he was trying to be like Danny DeVito. And I was like, is this just like supposed to be like Frank from It's Always Sunny?
I mean,
because he's just full of shit and like is like, you know, like the one, his section of the game where you're trying to get him back to town, he's like, makes you do all this stuff. And then he's like, oh, then I'll like open this bridge up for you. And then as soon as he leaves, the bridge like collapses.
Yeah.
And you know, that sort of stuff. So,
yeah, I thought like he definitely kind of stood out for me. I think everyone else, well, I mean, there was also, what was it? Wiggle, her name with the, and she was the like songstress that you had to go and get all different types of like bug snacks to be her hair everything like that. I thought she was kind of the only other one that kind of stood out as far as like, I don't know, just like everyone else seemed so like nice and sweet and helpful and like lovely. And those two from,
I don't know, Befika, I didn't love either. She's kind of mean.
Do you know what's really funny? Early on in my notes and early on in my playthrough, I've actually got written down, Befika is a, well, I'm not going to say that word on your podcast, and I want to feed her to the bug snacks. But then later on, like, so Befika is like a gossip queen and like totally. Has a journal about all the rest of the Grumpuses and stuff like that. But I actually, the more and more I played through the game, the more and more I kind of got into the vibe of it. I was just like, Befika and I are besties.
Like, it turns out I love gossip.
Yeah, it turns out I'm a total gossip. But no, I thought she was really well voice acted as well. She made me laugh actually out loud a few times.
Yeah, for sure.
And she was pretty good. Very like Alexis from Schitt's Creek vibes. Like she always had stories about I'm an international criminal and stuff like that, which like totally would just throw into a conversation. So I kind of loved her for that. But yeah, the Cromdo guy, especially like there's a bit at the end where you throw this party. And you've got it, like, everyone's kind of being awkward about dancing, and you're sort of questing that little bit to get everyone on the dance floor, get everyone moving. And, like, you've got to do things like Befika's song isn't playing, so you got to go change the radio so it's her song playing so that she'll go and dance. And then there's, like, people who have, like, wronged the other Grumpuses, so you've got to go and, like, convince one of them to go and talk to the other one so that frees up the person they were talking to go and talk to this other person. And Cromdo's, he's like, sitting there trying to sell everyone juice or like drinks or something like that, right?
Yep.
And he basically won't move until there's no customers to buy stuff until everyone's already dancing. And I don't know, he just kind of felt like the one that was out of place. But then we've just said that it ends up that there's a massive sushi snake spider thing, so I guess nothing's really off the table. But Yeah, he did. He was the one that I was pretty frustrated at, because his quest as well to get all of his stuff, like that's what included the, when you were talking about struggling with the pop tick, the popcorn one earlier on, I did as well. I couldn't work it out for ages how to get the scorpion to shoot its little flaming seed at them. So he was actually the bit that I struggled with the most. He was frustrating to get because I couldn't figure out. And here's me actually earlier on being like, yeah, it was a super easy romp. I did actually get really frustrated with his bit. So he just kind of annoyed me from the start.
I also, the only other thing I had to really look up, which I felt really stupid for as soon as I did look it up, but when you're trying to open that like giant gate in the mountain towards the end of the game.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, oh, you collect three of the snacks and I'll collect three of the snacks. And I was like, and I think it told you what snacks you had to collect, but I was like, how do you know where to put them? Like, and then once I looked it up, it was like, oh, obviously like the top of the stone looks like the bug snacks, but I don't know why I just didn't put that together.
Yeah. I don't think it told you what ones to get. Maybe I'm wrong at that. I don't remember it saying like, get these specific
that,
ones.
Maybe that. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you're totally right. And I would have had to look it up as well, but I caught the one that was like closest to the right hand side, or closest to the front on the right hand side. I actually just saw that it looked like the ice cream sandwich one that was flying. And I was like, oh, okay, that's the bug snack I have to get for that. And that turned out to be right. So I was like, okay, so I just need to look at like what they look like and stuff. That was the only way I got that, because I just so happened to notice that it looked like an ice cream sandwich, but I would have had to look that up as well. Cause that was that was definitely like, okay, you're just gonna leave now. Okay, bye.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, those were the only bits that I found frustrating, but it was a pretty decent romp.
It also took me a while to figure out that you could fast travel to the different areas of the map, and so I don't know why, and I don't know if they didn't mention it, but it just, I didn't clue in, and so there was times where I probably figured out like halfway through the game, but there's other times where I was like, okay, now I need to go like back to here so I can go back to there so I can go back to there, and then like all of a sudden I just saw like the fast, like press X to fast travel, and I was like, I'm such an idiot. Like, it was right there in front of me every time I went to the map. And yeah, yeah. So,
man.
So, yeah, if you do decide to play it, you can fast travel.
fast travel.
Save you some time. Yeah,
fast travel is the key. I did like the element as well. I guess this is going back maybe four or five topics now, but like some of the bug snacks only come out at certain times of the day. So
Or certain weather even.
Or certain weather. There is like a day-night cycle that happens, and you kind of have to, like, in order to kind of catch them all, you got to like go at specific times and days and things like that. So I think, like, you know, the world felt pretty livable. Like, it felt like it was an actual existing kind of place, and I think little elements like that added to that. I think they did a really solid job, as I said earlier on, of the actual world building element of it.
Yeah,
like I thought it was really cleverly put together, and everything was really well designed, and it looks great. Like, the look of it is so cool and just beautiful and weird and all of that. So I think as far as all of that is concerned, like it was wicked stuff.
I don't know. I feel like the more we talk about it, the more and more I'm liking it. And I did really like it. And I said that from the get-go, but I'm just like, it just felt like I had a lot of heart.
Yeah, totally. And I think like all of the little elements in it, because like a bunch of the Grumpuses that you bring back, like they all have relationships with one another, whether it's like friends or lovers or whatever. And I think there's so much of that. Like when you just said there, like it's got a lot of heart, like it really does. And like everyone's trying to really, at the end of the day, everyone's got everyone else's best interests at heart, and you know, there's silly fights that are in it, like the Grumpus that keeps the bug snacks as pets.
Yes, yeah.
There's a farmer who farms, like who thinks he can actually grow bug snacks, and he can grow the little sauce plants as well.
As Wombus.
Wombus, yeah. He before the village all like separated, one of the reasons that they fought, the two of them fought, is that Wombus wanted to eat the bug snacks that he was keeping as pets, but he obviously had them as pets, so he didn't want them to eat them. So there's like a bit where they make up at the end and like they kind of figure all that out and stuff like that. But all of those kind of relationships, I think, were super cute. And like the way that they, I think like also just the language that they use, and I kind of touched on this earlier on, but about like, especially because it is aimed, or potentially looks like it's aimed for kids, to have those kind of conversations happen, I think is super important. And I think that was the thing that surprised me, is the amount of like really positive messaging that's in this game, despite force feeding anthropomorphic sweets or snacks to like big fuzzy Sesame Street looking guys. There was a lot of really cool stuff that was in there, and you know, I think, as I say, for me, I just wanted like those elements that you were talking about earlier on, like maybe you have to wear popsicle legs to go across the desert. If they just added that in, it would have been like pretty dang perfect.
So do you think that for yourself, is Bugsnax like a give it a shot, skip, or a must play?
I think I'm gonna go with a must play. And I don't think I've said that on this podcast before. Maybe I have, but I think it is. I think for the reasons that we've kind of talked about there, like I think there's genuinely something in this for everyone. It's super easy to pick up.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's drastically, majorly challenging. There's a couple things that might make you feel stupid to be like, oh, I had to pick this up or whatever. But I think there is something in here for everyone. And I think especially if you are maybe like a parent like playing with a kid, or like your kid's bugging you for an Xbox and they're trying to, you know, Game Pass. You and I have talked about this endlessly, the value of Game Pass and the value of having that. And you know, if you are a parent and your kid's looking for a gaming console, like get them an Xbox, get them Game Pass. Bugsnax is like 8 gigs or something like that on the hard drive. Like it's not huge, but it's super fun. Like you'll get some out of it as well. And I think everyone from like, I mean, you and I, like we're in our 30s and had a blast with it. And, you know, there is genuinely something here for everyone, whether it's the humor you're going for, whether it's just like getting into gaming, whether it's the little interactions between the Grumpuses, whether it's just that Pokemon Snap element of like finding out all about these different varieties of Bugsnax, like really cleverly done. And I think it's a must play. What about you?
I think I agree with that. Like I said, I think it's one of those games that it'll disappear for me shortly from now. But I think that it felt super full of heart, and it was like a joy to play and like surprisingly funny. And I don't know, it just is a different experience from what I would typically gravitate towards. And I think that elevated it for me even more. So I'm really glad that I played it. So
yeah, and I'd be interested to see, to your earlier point, like I didn't even see that there was a DLC for it. So like I'd be interested to go back, like to see, are they going to continue development on all the DLCs for it? Is that it? Are they just going to move on and do like Bugsnax 2 or like I'd be interested to see where they kind of go, if they do anything else with it and things like that, because I think that team are super talented, like very, very talented folk. I think like they did a lot with this. I had no idea it was the same developer as Octodad. So they clearly have a like a knack for that sort of weird mechanic, story kind of vibe of like, let's take this absolutely insane situation and make a story out of it. I'm actually excited to see what they do next, and it makes me curious to go back and play Octodad for sure.
Yeah. Oh, you got to play Octodad. And tell me about it. Tell me how angry you get, how much you laugh, all of those good things. Do you have anything else to say about Bugsnax, or should I draw the games for the next episode?
I think you should draw the games for the next episode, mate.
Let's do it. All right. So on the next episode, you're going to have a choice of what we play, and it's going to be between As a Dusk Falls and No Man's Sky.
Do you know who's playing this yet?
Me, I'm playing it.
You're going to play it. I would go with the first one because I have played a ton of No Man's Sky. So I'd be interested to hear more about I can't even remember the name of it. As Dusk Falls. But I've like actually when it popped up on Game Pass, I was pretty intrigued. I was actually potentially going to go and play that.
I'd be interested. Do you want to play it? You want to do a twofer?
I could do a twofer. You want me to do a twofer?
Let's do it. Yeah, I am, however, going to take a 1 month break. So you're going to have some extra time because, we're getting into October and I'm going to be away for part of October to head to California. And I still want to finish The Last of Us Part 1 and, you know, all this other stuff. So, let's just do it. and but you're gonna have some extra time to play, so no
great.
Rush.
Well, that's great because I'm in Calgary next week anyways.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's it for this episode. I can't believe, you know, we talked about the game for about a quarter of the length of the game, so you know, that's impressive. I think
it shows the quality of it, I think.
Yeah,
if you can talk about something that took you 5 hours to do, 6 hours to do, and you
sure.
can talk about it for an
totally.
hour.
Yeah. Thank you. As always, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And thank you. Yeah. Always for, I feel like I can ask you whenever and you're like, fuck yeah. So that's very nice.
No,
I really appreciate it.
I always have a blast. A blast here. And even the episode of Geekscape Games that I was on was an absolute blast as well. I always have it's good to feel part of this family.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We should get you back for more of that too.
Yeah. Let's do it. 100%.
Yeah. But yeah, this has been another episode of the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. You can hear us most months on the first of the month, but not next month, but check the month after. It's not confusing. but if you do like the sound of my voice, you can also hear me every 2 weeks on the Geekscape Games Podcast right here on the Geekscape Network. If you like what you hear, you give us a review, share us with a friend, do whatever you want. I don't care that much. But but yeah, we'll be back soon. This has been Bugsnax, and we'll be back soon with As Dusk Falls. Thanks again, Doogie.
Thanks, mate.
And we'll see you in a few hours.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.